Welcome back to The Unpolished with your hosts, Angela and Kendall. Let's get into it, shall we?
Welcome, welcome, welcome back. I have my friend here that I want to introduce. Nicole, say hi.
Hi.
And I want to talk about how I met Nicole because it was very magical, very, very meet cute, so I should say. Don't you think?
Very platonic soulmate.
Very platonic soulmate. Giving very platonic soulmate. So how I met her was that I saw her work. She is a professional photographer. I'm scrolling on Facebook one day.
Shout out Sarah.
Shout out Sarah. And I saw her daughter in this gorgeous crib with these flowers. And just the shot was so loving and tender. And I was nowhere near having children yet. But I was like, oh my God, I need to see who took this photo. So I messaged Sarah and I was like, hey, who took those photos of your baby? And she was like, this girl, Nicole, she's so good. So I had that name in my back pocket. Well, fast forward like a full year before I got pregnant with my first child, and I remembered this picture, and I was like, I'm going to book her. So lo and behold, she came and took my pictures of Wyatt when he was a newborn, and we have been friends ever since. That was 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago. So from then, we just started to do content together. I am not a photographer. Nicole is one of those people that kind of breadcrumbs like little things about her childhood that I'm just like, I've literally never heard anyone that's lived that way.
Trauma dumping.
Yeah, but it's like in a way
maybe
that's
trauma.
It's cute. It's chic the way you just sort of, you drop it like, I didn't wear shoes and I had no AC and I was running around and there was like no curriculum and my grandma like smoked weed but also gave me tea and I'm like, tell me more, sis. I'm like, walk me through some of the stuff. So as I go in this episode, I'm like, I'm going to be learning with you guys because I've actually never asked you directly.
And no one usually does. And that's okay. I mean, I lived it.
Yeah.
Like I do breadcrumb a little bit because I have a hard time relating to certain things. But usually I don't get asked like, either to start here or what specifically like people are curious about. They just like wait for me to share it.
Yes. And I've taken that approach.
And I respect it.
Yes. I've taken that approach.
But I'm also like, I'll tell you whatever you want to know.
And that's
mostly.
That's why she's here today, team, because I knew she'd be an open book about this. I just never wanted to push. And then now I'm like, would you like to in a public forum? And
yeah.
Like,
hey, do you want to talk about living on a compound? I think was your text message.
But the thing is, I was like,
I was like, actually, I wouldn't mind.
So let's start with, I mean, your earliest years, we can go chronologically. Like, you were raised by your grandma predominantly.
So my mom had me when she was 16. My dad was 20-ish. I don't know. I met him when I was much older. I met him when I was a baby, but I didn't meet him again until I was much older. So my mom had actually gotten remarried, but I always remember living with my grandmother. So even my mom, her husband, all of my aunts, all of my uncles, we lived in like Maybank. Do you know where Maybank is?
No. Is that in Texas?
In Texas. It's like by Mesquite.
All right.
It's the ghetto. But I remember we lived there, and that's like my earliest memories of my grandmother. I would like sleep with my grandmother. She was my, so she wasn't predominantly who raised me, but she was my constant, I guess is a better way
to
put it.
Okay.
So I think childhood for me is okay. My earliest memory, like crazy memory of my grandma is the cops were trying to get into our house. I don't know why at this point, but she barricaded me and her into a room for like hours.
How old were you in that?
It was before I was in school.
Okay.
So I had to be, you know, at the oldest, like 4.
And to this day, you never found out.
No, I don't have anyone to ask.
Yeah, sure.
I'm estranged from my family. All respect. There's no shade on anybody. It's just my personal choice for me and my kids. So, like, if it gets out to any of them either, it's just was my experience. And I don't mean anything towards anybody in any specific way. But a little bit unstable.
So you grew up with your cousins?
I grew up with my cousins. So when I was about 5, so I remember it was like starting kindergarten, my grandma had bought land. And so in my mind, the way I see my grandmother, like, dream, this is her dream, is she got like 10 or 15 acres and she wanted her kids to be able to come and live and have their own homes on this land. And we all grew up together, like all the cousins and all of this. And like, as a mother now, I'm like, Yes, like I would, you know,
yeah,
that right now is like a trendy, like cool thing to do.
Yes.
And I see like
you see the intent
of it. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the intent was wonderful, and I can get into how like how magical it was during a short period of time, even with the other chaos that was surrounding me adult-wise, with my cousins having that experience.
Yeah.
I was the oldest at that time of, I think there were six of us. Yeah, there were six. So my mom had three children, and then one of her brothers had three children. And we all lived on the same land at the same time. I mean, we were running through, no shoes, we were barefoot, we were in the, drinking from the water hose, we had a swing set. We made little forts out of sticks, and we just had a childhood, little streams and catching frogs and all of that. So it was really, like, very magical, as for as traumatizing as it was. Like, she did really give that to me. But so I think her idea of that, like, vision changed whenever other adults got involved and were living there and weren't making good choices. I really want to be careful of my verbiage.
Sure.
I was young, so it's a big turning point in my life. But the big turning point in my life where I felt like I really lost my mother, I really lost my family, was I was about 8. And my stepdad had an affair with my babysitter. She got pregnant. She lived down the freaking street. Still lives there to this day.
No. Maybank it up?
No, down the street from my grandmother's land in Corsicana. So that's kind of where I grew up. She still lives there.
No.
Nice enough lady.
Sure.
Again,
yeah.
I'm 8. I don't know. That was hard because I was at her house all the time. And I watched her family just, like, her. I watched her husband, like, praying on, like, I woke up from a nap and he was on his, like, knees, like, praying over his marriage alone and, like, woke up. And he was like, I have to take you home and I don't think I'm ever going to see you again. And he was, like, so upset because me and my sisters, like, were at their house every single day. And my stepdad had an affair with his wife and got her pregnant.
Oh, no.
They stayed together. The little boy went to the school with me when I was in high school. He was in elementary school.
Wait, so this is a half-sibling?
A half-sibling, but not, he wasn't my father. They stayed together. He raised him as his own, and they made it work. My mom and my stepdad, who I considered my dad at that point, they were married, I think, when I was, like, 18 months old. So my mom was very young when she got married. They separated, and we moved in with my mom's new boyfriend a couple cities over. He was a meth addict, hardcore.
So this is where you leave the cousin
compound. The cousin compound, but everyone's still there, and it's like a 20-minute drive.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm still there a lot.
But only you?
My sisters are still with me at this point.
Okay.
My mom. We live there. Another very beautiful experience for me in terms of cows. I mean,
oh,
we had cows. I
Let's
love
cows.
That
say.
Is where it started because
yeah.
We lived in this house and my mom's boyfriend or my stepdad, whatever, he was a ranch hand. And so that's how he paid for the house. Like, you live on the
yeah.
house, but you're on call 24/7. So if the cows get out, da 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 da. And it was a lot of land. And so we were on the tractors, we were doing hay. I mean, it was so fun.
So this is the boyfriend, not the stepdad with the babysitter. This is the new guy.
This is the new guy.
Okay.
Very fast. It happened very quickly.
But you didn't know, like, his possible drug habits were not, like, impeding on your experience with the cows and the pasture?
No. Initially, I would tell you that the happiest years of my childhood, I will take you to the exact spot where
yeah.
they were.
Yeah.
And he's in some of them. He was very kind to me. Again, I was like, this is probably when I was like 8 to 10. I remember wildflowers, magnolia trees. There was gardens. It was a beautiful space that I was in, and I got to learn how to can jam, and like I was just like, you know,
living
with a farmer's wife and stuff. Like, it was a very beautiful experience for me. Now, when I used to talk to my sister, that was one of the worst times of her life in
really?
Her childhood. Yes,
and
which
she
I thought,
you're the oldest.
I'm the oldest. She's 2 years younger than me. We do not have a healthy relationship. It's not something that... There's just certain boundaries that I have that I can't get past.
Sure.
And it just is. And I mean, I wish nothing but good things, but it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it. My experience was so much different, I think, than what people what my family gives me credit for, and I feel real gaslit a lot, and I feel like things are really deflected, and so that's why I choose to kind of, you know, until people are ready to process it. It's so hard to be, to explain why you can't talk to your own family.
Right, right.
So there's nothing that I'm going to say that, like, let's say if they hear it, that's going to make them feel any differently about me. Deep in my heart, I don't want anything bad for you either. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's so difficult because, like, how, you know, how badly that can be perceived, like somebody who chooses not to engage with their family. You know, and for me, it's something that I really wanted a better quality of life financially for my children when I was young. It was a very important thing to me. But I think some of my family found it offensive. And,
yeah.
You know, there's different qualities of life that I don't care what you do. You know, you live however you want to live. But I almost felt like they thought I was better than them because it wasn't something that aligned with me or that I even felt like was enough for my children or enough for my siblings or enough for anyone else. Like, it just wasn't enough. And when it comes to my grandmother, her biggest fault was how much of an enabler she was. And she was very content in how she lived, which we were poor. We did not have, like you said before, I didn't have plumbing. We had drilled holes and put a water hose into a sink that had a tub, wash our dishes and pour the, you know, the tub out back. We just didn't do it. When we first moved to the property, she had a camper. And she got, like, one of those milk crates, you know, like, closes like this with a lid on the top. And then hung up, like, a shower curtain in the trees. And, like, put a water hose over the top. And, like, that's where we showered. And
yeah.
It was just, like, she was so happy to have her own
space.
She did not care.
Yeah.
She didn't care. And she grew up, I get it, because she actually was sent to a Catholic boarding school when she was very young, and she graduated from a Catholic boarding school. And so she didn't have her own anything, her own autonomy over her body, her own things, her own family. Like, she didn't have that, and she was really trying hard to build it. I think, unfortunately, she had some bad apples, and they kind of ruined everything. So we were on the compound, right? Me and my sisters had moved to the ranch, but all of my cousins still lived on the property with my grandparents. And I get picked up from school by a CPS worker.
Editing Angela here. There was an incident in Nicole's childhood that has been redacted for privacy, but just move forward with us in the rest of the story.
When I say my grandma had 10 acres, I'm talking about we're in a very rural area. Our closest town's 30 minutes away. Everybody knows everybody. There's 500 people in the town.
Right.
There's 1,500 people in the surrounding 8 towns. I've done some of my own research about them as I've been an adult, and it doesn't line up to what I was told as a child. I understand why somebody may make that decision to not share that with a child, but, you know,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Well, it's wild that I think about this from the show. What show was that on?
Editing Ange, the show I'm blanking on is the HBO show called Succession. So watch me struggle to try to find the name of it.
Oh my gosh. It's the show on HBO about, like, a business family. Whatever. I'll tag it in when I edit, but it's really a crafty show about different people's perspective growing up in the same house.
Yes.
And then there's that quote that's like, we grew up in the same house, we did not have the same parents.
Right.
Your sisters were like, that was mm-hmm. the worst time of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then for you to be like, that was actually a magical part of my
mm-hmm.
childhood,
mm-hmm.
really speaks to how dynamic and complicated and sophisticated sibling relationships are with each other,
right.
but also with the caretakers.
Right.
And I always find that fascinating.
Yeah. And so I think I was, what do they call it? Parentified? What was
yes,
I?
Yes, parentified.
Parentified, thank
yeah.
you. I was the oldest sister through and through, and I had a ton of cousins. I always had a baby on my hip.
Period.
I was meant for it. They don't call me Baby Whisperer for nothing. It started when I was
straight
young.
Up.
And I loved it. I loved being the oldest. I loved taking care of everybody. These were my babies, girl.
Babies.
My babies. Went to school. CPS picked us up from school. Told us we were going to get ice cream, which is against the fucking law, in case you didn't know. They cannot go to the school and tell your kids. The way I understand it, there's a way that they have to approach it. Not, like, against the law, but that kind of infuriates me thinking back. Now, this wasn't my first experience with CPS. I've actually pulled my CPS file. It's
lengthy?
No. 140 pages. Oh,
she's thick.
She's thick, girl. So I'm sure at this, even though these are like big things now, I mean, I'm a 35-year-old woman, so I've had a lot happen since then. I'm sure at that point I can remember a familiarity with them. Like, I can remember being like, this is bad. Not again. Like, oh my, like I could feel the spiral. And obviously I had just had another traumatizing experience that happened before that. And it was a day. I didn't give two fucks about ice cream.
Yeah. So you're saying not only did it not work, but you also like could read the writing in between.
Yeah.
And we're like,
I think I was like eight or nine again. They take me and my sisters, we go and we stay at a foster home. They enroll us in another school. My cousins, I don't know where they are. I know they're in the foster care system. I know my uncles are in prison. At this point, I feel like I had an okay relationship with my aunts. There was other things with my uncles. Like, one of them is just mean. I don't know how else to describe him. I'm going to kind of leave it there. He's mean. I got the court records to prove it. He's not a good person. I don't want anything to do with him. The other one is, you know, a predator. So, you know, you kind of do what you do. And then I had one uncle I was very close with who was neither of the two until much later in his life when I think he kind of got, you know, things happen. So
yes.
My mom had, there's five of them. There was my mom. She had three brothers and a sister. And the sister and two brothers lived on the compound, per se. And I call it a compound because that's actually what the police started calling it.
I find that word nice. Like, but is it a negative connotation?
To me, it feels like a negative connotation.
Really?
And I think it's because I first heard it from a friend who was telling me that's what the police call where I live.
I see. I wonder if it is insensitive, because now that I'm thinking about it, like, there's a lot of, it's almost, like, trendy to talk about, like, let's leave to go to a compound. Like, do you find that insensitive? Or are
no.
you saying, no, that's the good parts of the vision?
Yeah, I think there's great parts to it.
I
only find it negative because I think the way, but growing up, because I was back and forth in that same school district.
Yeah.
By school district, I mean same school. And whenever I was there, the elementary school, the middle school, and the high school were one. They moved the elementary school to one, the high school and the middle school were one. Like, it's just all the same.
Yeah.
Like, 300 freaking kids. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm in a foster home. Hated it.
So all of the caretakers that you had known at this part were involved in the incident and no longer available.
They took, yeah, my mom
so,
was involved, everybody.
So did you get placed separate from your sisters?
No, they kept me with
all
my
together.
Sisters,
okay.
But me and my sisters all slept in the same bed. We had just talked about that. And
yeah.
That's why I was like, I love it.
Yeah.
It was a safe space for me. So
yeah.
I really think that's something really beautiful. And I do ache over not seeing that in my own motherhood. Because I feel so much of my childhood and motherhood that I just love that. I think that's going to be great when we can make that happen. But anyways, so I had a baby sister. She was maybe like two or three. And she was my like a baby.
Yeah.
Period. She'd tell you now. But we were, you know, I was a big sis. And so she was in a different room. And I remember, like, having it out with the stepdad. I don't fucking know. They all
yeah,
are together
the,
now.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm almost safer calling everybody a foster parent.
Yeah.
That's how I feel in my mind. But anyway, so the foster dad, you know, I'm telling the foster mom, like, she will sleep. I have to have her. We don't live here. Like, she has to be with me. And I remember the foster mom, it's very, like, traditional. The man's last say is the last say. Girl, honey, girl.
So not with my baby.
I wasn't about that from the womb. You weren't going to tell me shit. But I was like, no, you don't. I'm not doing it. And
yeah.
I remember laying there and she just screaming. And then finally, and I remember thinking, as soon as I get in that room, I'm taking her. And we're going out the fucking window.
You said I'm
out. I mean, I really remember. And obviously I didn't do that. We're getting out of here. This is not it for us. So all this happens. My sisters get to go with their dad.
Your sister's dad.
My sister's dad, both of them. So at this point, there's three of us. Their dad, who my mom was married to for like 5 years, they went to be with him.
Okay.
But he wasn't my biological dad. He never adopted me, so I didn't have that option. So I hopped around a little bit into a couple more foster homes. Then they let me go back with my mom. She started using while I was gone. I hadn't seen my sisters. Like, I remember time thinking, like, I don't even know if I'm ever going to see them again. Like, I don't remember the last time I saw them. I'm alone. I'm an only child now, from big sister to only child. So I was really, like, unwell feeling. My stepdad is helping her shoot up. And, like, I didn't know what that was. I had no idea. And I had been around weed my whole life. My grandmother is very, like, a medicinal hippie. It wasn't just weed. She was that old witch bitch. Like, that's what she was.
Concoctions, yeah. Like, you know, but that is a totally different
ball game. It was completely different, yeah. And so I know there's probably, like, drug use and stuff among other members of my family, but my grandmother, no, it was just that type of thing. You know, if you were sick, you're getting what she was,
her
whatever
tea.
It was. We did get high when I was probably too young, but I really don't hold it against her. I really don't feel like it was anything bad. But my grandfather had died in our house, and it took the freaking people from Dallas. They donated his body to science. He died of an AVM leak. And I don't know if you've heard of that, but, like, there's, like, a leak. It's, like, spinal or a CSF leak. So it's, like, a spinal fluid leak in the back of your head. He got diagnosed with it, like, 35 years before he died. And he was given, like, a 5-year prognosis. And
oh,
so
wow.
He lived with it.
Died
from something fucking else.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Whoa. What a,
so,
like,
he,
what a wild marvel.
Yeah. So random, you know.
That was grandpa?
Forward, but that was my grandpa. Great guy. I loved him. Him and my grandmother were not together, but they were not divorced. He would live in Dallas during the week. And I love this story. He would live in Dallas during the week, and he would come down to my grandma's during the weekend, and they would stay up all night long smoking joints, listening to records, smoking cigarettes.
Oh, my gosh. And then he'd go back to
and
Dallas?
Then he'd go back,
oh, my
and
gosh.
And they were the best friends, you know? And I just loved it.
I love
and
to
she
see it.
Loved it. I mean, in my eyes, that's what I saw.
Sure.
So I'm hoping that's what she lived. Truly.
Yes.
But anyway, so I was back with my mom, and I still remember, like, comments being made to me at school about, your mommy doesn't love you. Like, it was such a small town that when the kids find out about adult situations that are happening in the household, and you're not having those conversations with your kid of how, what that actually means, and they're just hearing it, that's when it turns into bullying, and that's when it became something that was, like, they have no grasp over.
Yeah.
Because
you didn't
kids
even know.
Would have no idea how to handle that.
No.
They can't understand that.
No. You barely understood it.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if she was... And what I will give my mother this credit, and I don't give her much. I am truly her hardest critic, and I know that, and it's the reason I choose not to interact, because I don't want to make her feel any worse than she already should. I know that sounds so cold.
I don't think it does.
But I wish her well in hell. You know what I mean? I have a really hard time with that. And I really, truly never see any coming back from it. I can't. Unless you were to... For me, and this may be... I don't even know if she even uses anymore. I have no idea. I haven't talked to her in 16 years.
Yeah.
Unless she went to a long-term treatment facility, I'm talking 90 days, I wouldn't even entertain the thought.
Yeah.
And then that's... surreal to me as a mother to say that.
Well, I think that's almost why the boundary is so strong, because you are a parent.
No, and let me tell you something else that happens is I had my, you know, I had Trevor so young. I went through all of that. So I lived around, my cousin ended up dying in foster care.
Yeah.
It sucks. That is something that I, like, hate to talk about, but I feel like no one talks about, so I want to talk about him.
Yeah.
But he was a little light. He was tough. He was, like, all boy and fun, and, like, he had a little go-kart, I remember, and I was really young too. I mean, he was 4 when he got taken out of custody, and I was 8. And so I was in middle school when I found out that he had passed away and how he had passed away. And that was, like, really rough for me. And we had to go to, that was my first time to ever go to a funeral. It was horrific, and it's still horrific to this day. And my other cousins, and one of them had fetal alcohol syndrome so severely that it affected her long term. So now she's living in an adult assisted living facility, like an independent living, from what I understand. But she has no memory of me or really anything. So when I tried to, like, do that. I thought it was best that I just didn't, mm-hmm. because she is living, you know, semi-independently, and she's figuring it out. It would be a selfish thing for me. It would feel good for me, but I don't know that it would be anything beneficial for her because she has a family, but she is, she has no memory of us. And some of my other cousins had tried reaching out to her, and that's how I kind of figured it out. And I was like, I don't want to contribute to this person's mental health. And when I say mental health, I don't mean depression. I mean, like, she really is mentally handicapped, and it's a hard thing to have to go through that because her mom drank so much when she was pregnant. And I didn't know that that whole time. Like, talking about running around in the fields and doing, right. I had no idea there was anything wrong with her.
Yeah.
She was my Steffi girl, and that was it. And that was my baby. And we were close in age. And then Anna got adopted out, and I hope to a beautiful family. She did get in contact with her parents.
No, Anna is a cousin.
Anna's my cousin that got taken away. So three of them got taken away. One passed away. One's in the assisted living, and then one was adopted. So fast forward, I was kind of hopped around. So I lived with my grandmother. I lived with my other uncle. I moved back in with my sister's stepdad. And then I moved back to my grandma's house, and I lived with my grandma for a while. My grandma got really sick, and so that was really hard. My grandma got really sick, and my other aunt had a baby and just left the baby. So the baby, me and my grandma would take care of the baby while my aunt was...
doing the gunos.
She was out. She was in the streets. They say in the streets now, though. This woman was in the streets. So I was in school... helping my grandma take care of this baby.
Now, where was her youngest child?
With my grandma, too, and me.
Okay.
So, it was me, my grandma, and the two babies. We ended up all splitting up, and my grandma kept my sister, and my aunt came and got the baby, and my uncle came and got me, and I went and lived with him.
So, the theme of you caretaking and then transitioning to a new house, and then caretaking mm-hmm. and transitioning mm-hmm. to a new house... One of the things I love about you so much is how tenderhearted you are and how caring you are and how loving you are to anything from, like, bugs to children to pets to friends. Your heart is so big and so wide. And the fact that through all of these different tragedies and all these different things that you've gone through that were just, like, extremely turbulent, mm-hmm. you have, like, kept your heart open is a marvel to me and wild. Like... who I love.
I'm, like, so shocked that you're saying that, because I don't feel like my heart is really open. Nicole. So, like, you saying that to me makes me laugh. I almost feel like...
I know you're a guarded person, and I know that you are, like, careful of who you let into your circle. Right. I'm not saying that you're not. Right. And I understand, and I actually think that's a good quality. I could probably be a little bit more discerning. So I'm not saying that, but I'm saying now that I'm in.
I'm
speaking from someone that is, like, lucky to be called, like, your friend. Yeah. That's what I'm speaking from.
And I've always, and it can be, you know, my therapist is like, take a breath, but like, if you're in with me, like, if I trust you, you know, I've had some really hard experiences with that, but like, when I, even after, like, it was hard for me to become your friend, because I had just had a very difficult experience with another friendship, and so, like, letting new people in is very, very difficult for me.
Yes.
I even giggle with some of my lifelong friends that you're my last friend, you're my last new friend ever.
Right.
But like, I want so badly to feel close to people because I don't have that familial union that, I mean, truly, like, you know, you were at my wedding. It was so important to me of who I invited and who was there, because I didn't want to have anything but good energy around me. I have so many, unfortunately, I have so many photos from my childhood that, like, I'm in and there's other people in, and, like, they're not who they were then.
Right.
And you can say that about yourself now. You can, you know.
Sure.
I don't want to cut another friend out of a photo ever again. So I don't let anyone in unless I know that you're in for me, because I'm going to ride. Like, I'm here. I feel like I've always been, tried to be a good person and a good friend. So I thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're not always a good person.
No, but, I really mean it. I'm not just blowing smoke. I've never met anyone like you, and I know a lot of people, so I'm not saying, like, wow, bitch, you really stand out, diamond in the rough. But I do mean that.
You can say that.
Yeah, you catch my eye in the best way, like, and you have continued to. Like, that novelty or, like, that, like, specialness has by no means, like, dimmed.
Well,
it's, like, getting,
like,
stronger as I get to know more about you.
That's how I feel about you.
I think we're just getting started.
Creative, like, energy.
So I want to transport. I was going to say, I want to transport into this part. All of the things that you've gone through, your childhood stuff, the turbulence, the turmoil, the people in and out, the caretaking that was never yours to carry, all of this, I feel, you have channeled into this, like, beautiful art form that you have grown and nourished and continue to show up for in a way that most people, and this is, I've really been fascinated by this, most people make excuses on why they cannot open their heart up to creativity and learn and grow in that realm, whatever that medium
mm-hmm.
is. Writing,
mm-hmm.
I think
right.
you're an incredible writer. You already know I feel that
Thank
way.
You.
And then behind the lens, in front of the lens, the way that you edit, the design, like, all of that takes a lot and is
mm-hmm.
a skill that you've grown, but also you have intuition about. I say all this to say, I find it marvelous that no matter what you've gone through, current or past, you hold the goalpost in creating art that the world wants to see.
Thank you, because I feel like if I'm not, then I become a shell of myself.
Yes, and I agree.
And for you, it's in how you dress. It's
yeah.
your, I mean.
I try to keep it moving, at
you're
least.
Just the mom, yeah. But for me, like, for me to get dressed, I have to take a self-portrait. Like, if I'm in that space, that
okay.
dark space.
Yes. I mean, and I get it. Like, your saddies,
you know,
revolutionary. The saddies.
So good. Like, they're so good, but they're, like, hard to share. They were, like, so good for me emotionally that they were, like, hard to share.
So, here's something I do want to, like, kind of put the... I don't want to put you in the hot seat, but you create way more than you show.
Yeah.
Whereas... anything I remotely half create, I'm like, here it is. Like,
yeah.
I'm somebody that, like, puts so much out there. I could use a little more discernment and a little bit more. But I wonder, tell me more about this. Is this
okay,
a blog?
I love your chaotic self. I don't know. I think I used to share a whole lot more. I went through things and I just kind of, like, shelled up. I am still right now, I'm not shelled up. I feel good about who I am. I really love who I am. I'm really proud of everything I'm doing. But I don't know how I want to show up online.
Okay.
And sometimes I don't want to show up at all.
Period.
So, like, in terms of day to day, I'm not creating necessarily to share it on Instagram. I guess my block is probably community. I have my friends, and that's who my community is on Instagram. And so that's who I share with.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't.
I think it's reasonable not to have,
you know,
interest in growing a community or any type of public communication.
I don't know why I want to grow a community yet.
Got it.
So what I'm going to share is just going to be whatever random, you know, art that I'm liking that I think might connect with somebody who also want to create that same art with me. But, like, I'm trying to post the art that I want to create, like, on my business page, my personal page. I'm not in a season of my life where I have little kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we're doing fun shit and I got cute babies to post and stuff
right.
like that. My kids are like, get out of my face.
Yeah.
You've done enough.
Yeah, I'm all set.
You're good. So right now I think I gotta keep going to college. Like, I don't know how I wanna show up. And I don't know what I'm building my community for. And I've talked to you about that before, and this
yeah.
will be like, oh, whatever. I
yeah, yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm doing something.
I feel the same. Surely the train is moving
yes.
in the right direction and I'll get to the stop
yes.
eventually, but in
and
the
like,
in between.
Truly, like, for me, because I think I have a creative, like, mindset in the way I think, I'm, like, in a, like, I just imagine myself in a stream and I'm looking for a pebble. Like, where's the next that I want to do?
Right.
That I want to jump onto.
Right.
But, like, until I figure out, like, where that is that I want to be, it's hard
right.
for me because I do... You should, my camera roll, girl, I got stuff to share.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you sit on beautiful,
I don't know
nest
why
eggs.
I
do. But I'm glad you're saying this because I feel like I want more air in the in-between because
mm-hmm.
I think so many people are that way. Like, the disoriented, discombobulated, like, what do I even want to say? Why am I even doing this? Who do I want to see it? Do
mm-hmm.
I want anyone to see it?
Right.
Like, all of those questions go through my head all the time.
Right.
Or, like, imposter syndrome being like,
Imposter syndrome is a big one too. And for me, yeah. I want to make sure when I'm putting it out there, I'm not half-ass putting it out there, because if the negative starts coming from me, when they go low, I go lower.
Oh, period. And you've always said that.
Taurus,
and you
baby.
Have always said
That's
that.
It. Taurus energy.
One thing about Nicole is she will send me the most unhinged videos straight to DM, just like personal one-on-one videos of her in her car, and she is in like
savage mode,
altercations. She's doing the back and forth like, this could have gone down this way. I held my tongue. The restraint this woman has. The restraint this woman has when she's
like,
it's on
so
site.
Funny because.
Wait, can we talk about? Hold on. Can we talk about the fighting in high school? Like, I casually went to a brunch with Nicole and her friends, and I'm new to the group. And I went to this brunch, and everybody is gorgeous angels.
Yeah,
sitting
we're
down.
All dressed up.
Everyone
look
looks,
amazing.
We're in a sushi restaurant. Like, it's vibes.
Yep.
And then one of your friends started to be like, yeah, remember when it would be on site every day? And I was like, what? And then they all were speaking this language. I felt like I had transported into a new realm, and they were just like, yeah, we used to fight every day. Half of the group would be the instigators, and the other ones
yes.
would be the ones to be like backing them up.
And it wasn't just us.
No,
clarification.
Would you please
we,
tell
okay.
the people.
You look up the Colony, Texas. If you went to the Colony and you see this, please comment, because the Colony, everybody was fighting all the time. Behind the church, behind the school, in the alley. Like, everyone was fighting all the time. I thought this was normal.
No.
Literally, until you were like, what kind of ghetto? Like, I had no idea. I thought this was normal. And, like,
you were talking about girls getting curb stomped at each other's houses. And I was like,
they were, like,
horrified.
Yeah. They'd be like, after school, meet up. And Kelly.
God bless her.
Kelly, here's the thing about Kelly. Kelly didn't play, you know that. That's my best friend, whatever. And Anna, too, they do not play.
No,
well, those are my best friends.
Of course.
Nobody fucks with me. I never got in a fight.
So that was really.
I never got into a fight.
Nicole was never. She had the people, she had the team, but she was never the one that was like.
And I really wasn't I really wasn't an instigator either. Like,
sure.
I really wasn't in that part, but I mean, I was at the fight. and if they needed
row.
Me, I would have been in there, but they never needed me, so I was good.
No, they had it.
And I had, like, moved away.
But I'm telling you guys, if you saw these, I was going to say, if you saw these women, you would never know, like, what is inside is just, like, a fighter and a lover, like,
yeah.
feral.
And they're all such good people.
Oh,
I mean, and we all have our, we all mostly have our stuff together.
Yeah, pipe in, the Colony, Texas, pipe in the comments.
Please.
Let us
please.
Know.
I'll be tagging a few friends because the Colony is where it went down.
I have witnessed high school fights for sure, like, while
yeah.
I was going there. But I did not know any of the players.
Now, this was, for me, middle school was worse than high school.
With a fight?
Middle school.
Yeah, so I don't
meet
even remember.
In the, where would we meet? We'd meet in the alleys. We'd meet
the
in the
alleys
woods.
Is crazy.
The woods behind the school was like, whatever, if you went to make out or fight. And two of those girls, it really was on site.
I believe it.
On site. I had one girl picking on me in the bathroom one time, and I was pregnant with Trevor. And
See, that was so. This was a crucial part of the story. So you were pregnant at the time, so you sort of had this team of shielded, like, women that were shielding.
Well, we went to
your
experience. Schools at that point because
no
I graduated
way.
Early. Yeah. I
oh,
to, like,
dang. See,
yeah,
I pictured.
Pace.
Okay.
So it was just me and Tori. And Tori said, "That's fine.
That's fine. I got you.
That's fine." We had become friends before I got pregnant, but we got really close when I was pregnant. And
so the bullying that was happening while you were pregnant was with Tori.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it bullying. I would call it, girl.
I mean, middle school is
the way I would fight over this man. The most repulsive person you've ever met in your life. Like, I
no, I think about that quote all the time. That's like, imagine. The worst person you know is in therapy being told that their emotions and their actions are valid. And it's like, it pains me, these foot men that I were
yeah.
was going to bat for.
I mean, the men that I would ride.
Men is generous. Children.
Oh, yeah. Boys.
Boys.
Boys. I never met a man until I got married. I met one man. He's here. An
that's
angel. An absolute angel.
Angel. Angel, angel, angel.
He's my angel for sure.
Actually, so... I've gotten the joy of experiencing, like, your, when I met you, you were down bad.
I was down bad.
You were down bad. You said, X-Man, who's he? He's dead to me. so valid. And I got to, like, have a seat in you finding, like, your true man that is, like, here for the long haul and think, just building a home with him. Gorge.
Yeah. And I think when you and me met, I mean, we were exclusive, but we weren't very publicly exclusive.
Yeah. Beginning stages.
We took it pretty slow. You know, yes, my ex, we went through it. It's over. We do much better now. He's a great dad. I'm happy I have him.
Sure.
That's it. We do a really good job co-parenting.
Can we talk on that? Because I've reached out to you on a one-on-one, but I think this would be a beautiful thing to cover. Co-parenting can be challenging. I can only imagine.
Right.
Can only Very imagine. Excellent. And there's so many layers to why you would be co-parenting with someone. So it's like, there's not going to, of course, be one size fits all.
Right.
However, I really, really admire how mature you are in your co-parenting relationships. And talk to me about that.
Because my kids don't belong to me.
So
that, whenever I've ever talked to any female about co-parenting, the problem is, and I have I'm not above it, trust me, but you have this instinct that these are my kids. And it's because you did everything, right? You did all the fucking work for them to come out and look like your ex. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have that. So for me, co-parenting it can be very challenging. Like, you can be having a great day, and this can go either way, me or him, just for clarification. It can go either way to where I'm having the best day. I'm with you. We're on this couch. Girl, I can check that phone. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. And I'm like,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
And you gotta.
Yeah.
But me and my co-parent, really, we really have gone through it and drug each other a little bit.
And I guess I'm catching you asking you this in real time after years of working on it.
You have to figure out a balance, I think.
Yeah.
Because we still have days to where, you know, he didn't want to look at me, I don't want to look at him. Like, there's a lot of hurt when it comes down to, you know, things that you've gone through with somebody else, you know,
right,
in any relationship. And so once we healed some of those wounds and things, and we are hyper-focused on our kids, we do okay. Now, is he annoying? Yes, you are.
And she says that with her full chest.
And he, would he say I was annoying? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you something, that he's good to me in the sense that I made ads. They're in the Cross Timbers magazine, if you want to look, lifestyle magazine.
Nice.
Cross Timbers lifestyle magazine for the store I'm working with, and he has saved these magazines that he gets at his office so that way Nora can have.
Okay, that's sweet.
Like, he has always rallied for my business.
That's
my
nice.
Creativity.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about him, honestly. That's nice.
He has his fucking faults, but he's a good dad. We try really hard to co-parent well, and, you know, I think just trying to do the best you can do and trying to show your child that you love and respect them.
Yes.
That's it. If I'm treating him like garbage 24/7, if I'm not showing her that I respect him, then how do I respect her? How does she respect him? And that's something that we did a poor job of at first, and that's why we struggle sometimes with some behavioral issues and respect issues with Nora, because if you're not respecting each other, you're not going to teach your child respect.
Right.
So,
right. How humbling, dude.
You know, and, oh my God, I can look back and be like, in the mirror, like, you are so disgusting for that. Like, you're terrible for that. But, you know, you go through the things you go through. And there were times that I didn't even know who I was, but I promise you one thing, that I was trying my best to be the best I could be at that very moment, even if it was, you know, 1% of myself.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of it. And then, but we do a good job, you know, you have to, if you want your child to respect you, then you have to respect their co-parent.
That's tough.
And you take all that shit out. And when I tell you, their shit.
Yeah.
It's deep.
Yes.
It's hurtful.
Especially
it's
context of why things went down.
Yeah, contextually, like, things were really difficult for us. And so.
Yeah.
It is what it is. We have Tyler now, and he helps so much with Nora and stuff like that. And I think he sees the benefit of how much love Nora gets in my home, but also the help that I get, you know, with like pickups and random stuff.
That's
and,
true.
You know, even on his days, you know, if he needs somebody to pick Nora up. Tyler will help, you know. So we're really working. We still have a long way, I think, to go before we're all happy Dory. Ultimately, we all have the same kind of goal in mind. And I'm really thankful for Kevin, but then also for my husband, because I was down. I don't know why he loved. I don't know how it got here, because I would have been like, you're really nice, but I'm going to pray for you. Way over here.
way over here.
So yeah.
We love him for it.
We love him for it. And I wish I could just read it, because I can't, even you, I left our session and I was like, you are never going to see that woman again. Like, you just lost a client for sure, because you overshared.
Oh no, I didn't.
She was like, I was like, who are you right now? Like, to myself.
No, it's like, also something in these walls. I swear there's something about my house, and
true.
I love it. And I'm not even just like tooting. It's not about anything aesthetic. It's not about anything materialistic. There's something like really welcoming in this house. I've heard this from multiple
energy,
people.
Because even Nora came over and she
yeah.
does not.
Kids love this house.
She does not. She's very shy. And she came around and she was like, laid on the couch.
Yeah.
Can someone pass me the remote? And I'm mm-hmm. like,
yeah, that happens every time. My friend has a child that is like super, super shy, does not like, very homebody, does not like to leave mm-hmm. his house. And he's been like, when can I come back to Angela's house? Like, so I do think there's something like beautifully blessed
yeah.
in this house.
Yeah.
In the context, I was so nervous to get behind the camera again. I was like so freshly postpartum. I had such a traumatic experience with Wyatt. So I welcomed this distraction
yeah.
while she's like photographing me to feel like, okay, there's
number
something
one,
else.
That's my,
yeah.
that's my, well, I've shot you several times since then on your worst days and your best days. And I feel like that's my, let's talk about whatever.
Yeah.
Because it kind of gets you out of your head. And then once we're comfortable, then I hype you up.
Yes.
Then I can hype you up.
Yes.
You know, you
yeah,
tell
yeah,
me
yeah.
who broke your heart when you were 16. And then from there, we're good. Like, you're
yeah.
happy. You're like
yes.
into it. You're like, I didn't need him.
I mean, and I've always said that. All right, well, Nicole, this has been amazing. Thank you
Yay.
For coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
I will put, if you want, I will put your tags in the show notes.
Sounds good.
Check out her photography. I'm going to link her handle, but truly check it out if you are open to clients. Are you open
yeah,
to clients right now?
Absolutely.
Okay. I was going to say, sometimes she's booked out, and you'll see why mm-hmm. when you go and look, but she has an eye, and I've loved our experience together. I've loved our friendship as it's grown. I love the way that she, when she does choose to show up, how it shows up. And yeah, I love having Nicole in my corner. Thank you for sharing.
Of course. I love you.
See you guys next week. Bye.
That's a wrap from your girls, Kendall and Ange. Thank you for listening. Send this to somebody that you think will like it. XOXO, the Unpolished Girlies. Bye-bye.